You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am continuing in the summer school series, reading through the essential personality characteristics of effective play therapists. So we did the first principle last week. We're going to cover the second and the third today. They're not quite as involved and complex as the first one, so we can get two in today. But we are trying to dive in to how our own personalities and our traits and characteristics influence the play session as a child-centered play therapist. And it's important to be mindful of the characteristics that we should be embodying and striving to attain if they don't come naturally to us. So we're going to dive into the second and the third of those principles, which are unconditional acceptance and creating safety and permissiveness in the relationship. So we're going to dive into that in just a second from the Innovations in Play Therapy book edited by Landreth. However, I want to read you a really quick encouragement email that I received from Tobogo in South Africa. And so exciting to have all these international listeners. So Tobogo, hello. Thank you so much. Here's my attempt. Hallo, ho handit. It's all I've got. It's my Afrikaans, the entire encapsulation of my Afrikaans knowledge. Actually, really cool story. When I did my dissertation for my PhD, the dissertation topic that I studied was the effectiveness of CPRT in a virtual format. It had never been conducted online before. And I had two South Africans in that group, and I had one of them conduct play sessions in Afrikaans. And so I've actually watched play sessions in Afrikaans. So really cool. I love the connection to South Africa. So Tobogo, thank you for the email. Thank you for listening down there in South Africa. And for the rest of you all, I want you to hear what Tobogo sent. Really just such an encouraging email. I wanted to share it with you. My name is Tobogo from South Africa. I'm currently an intern clinical psychologist in the Eastern Cape. I've always loved kids in all spheres, but always felt stuck and useless in the playroom. It frustrated me because I was not doing anything to help those kids. However, since I started listening to the podcast in January, it has been amazing. I'm now more confident in the playroom, and I now see things that were playing out before my eyes, but I wasn't aware of. Thank you, Tobogo, for that. And y'all, isn't that just the most amazing thing? The more you learn about child-centered play therapy, the more you are aware of, the more you see, the more you perceive, the more you observe. And it's always there. Even if our skills are not at the capacity that lets us notice, it's always taking place. But the more we hone our skills, the more we are able to witness it for ourselves. And Tobogo, thank you for the email. And I'm just so encouraged that so many of us are starting to see more things in the playroom that we missed before. Not that anything is different. Kids are still working through their stuff. But as we become more skilled as clinicians, we're able to be more aware and more perceptive. So really appreciate the email, Tobogo. And to all my South Africans, great to have you. All right, so now let's dive into the second and third principle. Again, this is from the Innovations in Play Therapy book. And I'm going to read actually all of it. I kind of truncated last week's because there was so much, but there's only about one paragraph per principle on these two. So I'm actually going to read you the entirety from the book on page 25. So the second principle is the therapist experiences unqualified, or you can also say unconditional acceptance of the child, and does not wish that the child were different in some way. So the second principle, the therapist experiences unqualified acceptance of the child and does not wish that the child were different in some way. All right, so now let's unpack what that looks like, practically speaking. The play therapist demonstrates respect by maintaining a warm, steady, and friendly relationship with the child. The therapist stays neutral, accepting the child exactly as the child is. The therapist avoids judging or evaluating the child's behavior, either positively or negatively. I'm going to pause there. That's the trick. Because even if we are able to avoid judging negatively, we sometimes find that we judge positively. So notice there's neutrality required there. So the therapist avoids judging or evaluating the child's behavior, either positively or negatively, reacts to the child with interest, and demonstrates acceptance of the child by encouraging the child to express feelings fully. Okay, continuing. In working with children, the therapist conveys acceptance through, here we go, here's your checklist, patience, flexibility, and creativity. So how do we convey acceptance? If the principle is unqualified acceptance, how do we do that? Well, practically speaking, three concepts: patience, flexibility, and creativity. Continuing, the play therapist needs to be able to adjust and adapt to the unexpected. How many times have we been completely caught off guard in a playroom because something went haywire, something went wonky, all of a sudden we were in a mess and we didn't even know how we got there, we didn't know how to get ourselves out? Okay, we have to be able to adjust and adapt to the unexpected because children are unpredictable. The therapist welcomes the child's choice to play or not to play, to talk or not to talk. The child does not need to change or behave in any particular way to receive the therapist's acceptance, and the therapist resists imposing any conforming behavior on the child. All right, here's the doozy of the whole paragraph. The therapist may have goals or ideas, but does not have expectations regarding the child. I'm going to read that again. The therapist may have goals or ideas, but does not have expectations regarding the child. Why? The therapist knows that expectations can easily be disappointed and that disappointment may be conveyed to the child. Let that settle for a minute, y'all. Geez, the weight of that is heavy. The therapist knows that expectations can easily be disappointed and that disappointment may be conveyed to the child. So therefore, the therapist may have goals or ideas, but does not have expectations. All right, and then the final sentence. Instead, the therapist endeavors to meet the child where the child is at the moment and moves with the child. So when we think about how to remain unconditionally accepting of the child, we are patient, flexible, and creative. We adjust and adapt. We welcome the child's choices. We accept the child regardless of the child's behavior. And we do not have expectations regarding the child, but instead we meet the child where the child is at the moment and move with the child. So yes, that's quite an extensive list. So, you know, make sure you have your pen or paper or whatever out so that you can kind of compile that into some kind of mindful list that you can look at every once in a while, because that's asking a lot of us. But again, the principle and the personality trait that we're working on for that is unconditional acceptance, which takes us all the way back to Rogers, UPR, right? Okay, so now let's go to the third principle. Third principle is the therapist creates a feeling of safety and permissiveness in the relationship so that the child feels free to explore and express self completely. All right, let me read that again. The therapist creates a feeling of safety and permissiveness in the relationship so that the child feels free to explore and express self completely. All right, so when we think about how a child is able to express themselves, it's through the context of the relationship. So we are tasked with creating safety and permissiveness in the relationship. And we do that in a lot of ways. We'll actually look at the details together in just a second. But we need to be intentional about making sure the child feels safe and that they understand there's a level of permissiveness in the playroom, but specifically within the relationship. We often talk about safety and permissiveness in the playroom, but I think it's often overlooked that there is safety and permissiveness in the relationship. All right, so let me read. The play therapist is charged with creating a safe and comfortable relationship in which the child is helped to feel protected, liked, and respected. Wow. How often do you think a child feels, I think maybe they would feel protected. I would hope there's a caregiver that helps them feel protected. But how often does a child feel liked? And how often does a child feel respected? I would argue not often. But we create a safe and comfortable relationship, which helps the child feels those three things. All right, continuing. The child gains a sense of security from the predictability of the therapist and the therapeutic hour. All right, I'm going to pause again. This is why we say the same things every week. This is why we have the same routine every week. This is why we have a framework and a script for the way that we interact in the lobby, the way that we interact as we walk back to the playroom, the way that we interact to give a 5-minute and a 2-minute warning, the way that we respond to questions, the way that we encourage. Why are we consistent in all of that communication? Because that's how a child gains a sense of security, because things become predictable. That's why we schedule same day and same time each week, because kids have predictability. Every Tuesday at 4, I go see Miss Brenna. When I get there, she's going to walk out and say hello in the lobby, and then she's going to say, I wonder if you're ready to go play, or she's going to say, I'm ready if you're ready. Those are my two phrases. I use those ad nauseum. Then as we're walking back, I say, I wonder if you choose to wash your hands in the playroom or if you choose to wash your hands in the hallway. And then when they get in there, the script is you can choose to play with all the toys in most of the ways that you'd like. And then we respond with the reflective responses consistently. We respond with the four pillars consistently. We are predictable on purpose. Oh, that can be our new, that can be one of our new hashtags. Hashtag predictable on purpose. I like it. Okay. My staff's going to go crazy with that. I can promise you. So we have to be aware that as we are predictable, children gain security because it's predictability of us as the therapist and of the therapeutic hour. Okay. Let me continue. It is imperative that the therapist remain steady, consistent, and honest. Steady, consistent, and honest. It's hard to do all three of those sometimes, but it's imperative, Axline and Landreth say, that the therapist remains steady, consistent, and honest. Continuing, compassion and empathy tend to increase a child's confidence, encouraging open expression of emotions and thoughts. A child will withhold comments, listen y'all, a child will withhold comments until the child is sure that the therapist understands and can be trusted. Why do children keep things from their loved ones? Because they're protecting them, because they don't think they can handle it, because they aren't convinced that that person can hold things for them. That's why the neutral third party presence of a therapist is so powerful. However, a child will withhold comments until the child is sure that the therapist understands and can be trusted. How do we convey that we understand and that we can be trusted? We're steady, we're consistent, we're honest, we are predictable, and we demonstrate compassion and empathy. Again, you have a pen and paper. these are your lists that you should be aspiring to. All right, continuing. A therapist who is patient, friendly, calm, self-confident, and in control provides the child with protection and emotional safety. All right, let's go through those again. A therapist who is patient, friendly, calm, self-confident, and in control provides the child with protection and emotional safety. If you would not describe yourself professionally as those five things, that's your number one priority moving forward. Above all else, as a child-centered play therapist, we need to be patient, friendly, calm, self-confident, and in control. No matter what, no matter when there's resistance, no matter when there's aggression, no matter when there's refusal, no matter when there's an injury to you in the playroom because a child is behaving recklessly, no matter when the child refuses to come back to the playroom, when they refuse to leave the playroom, when parents are yelling at you because they haven't seen enough change, it doesn't matter what the scenario. Patient, friendly, calm, self-confident, and in control. Huge, huge benefits to the child-centered process if we can master those five personality traits. Okay, continuing. Permissiveness has been defined as the total acceptance of all symbolic behavior, whether constructive or destructive. While aggressive or destructive behavior may have to be limited, we do set limits when necessary, yes. So while aggressive or destructive behavior may have to be limited, the therapist acknowledges and accepts the child's desire to engage in such activities and provides acceptable alternatives for expressing the feelings. That's a paragraph describing the limit-setting pillar. Okay? So we can maintain our safety and permissiveness in the relationship while setting limits. In fact, that's exactly what the child needs from us. Okay, and then finally, the effective play therapist is accepting and creates an atmosphere of permissiveness at all times. So how do we do that? This permissiveness is communicated by the therapist's attitude toward the child, tone of voice, and actions. Attitude, tone of voice, and actions. That's how we convey permissiveness. The therapist grants the child the right to choose. The child may talk or be silent, use or not use the playroom materials. The therapist does not push or endeavor to control or change the child in any way. So we have permissiveness and safety in the relationship, and we have unconditional acceptance of the child. Principles 2 and 3 of essential personality characteristics of effective play therapists. So I hope that encourages you. I hope that gives you some things to consider and maybe to work on, to increase, to be mindful of this week. We have big, big roles, big jobs, a lot of things that are required of us to do this and to do it well. And that's why you're listening to this podcast. That's why you're taking in all the knowledge and the training and the coaching that you can, because you can't do this job without realizing the breadth of skill that you need. And again, not to beat a dead horse, but this is why it's so frustrating when people outside of CCPT think that we don't, quote, do anything in the playroom. You just let a kid play and you just watch them and you say a few things here and there. It's so much more than that, y'all. Our own personalities play a huge role in this. I mean, if that's not pressure, right? Like, we have to be very specific types of people to do this. And if we're not naturally that way, we have to work on building those capacities to be those things. So I hope that that gives you some things to think about and to work toward, because as we continue with these principles, it's very clear how the relationship really does define success in this model. And so all the things that we bring into the playroom are just as important as all the things that the child brings into the playroom. So love it. So fascinating. All right. If you want to reach out to me, I'd love to hear from you, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. I always love hearing from y'all. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the encouragement. So many of you reach out just to say hello and just to say thank you. So that really means a lot. And if you haven't looked into the collective, we'd love to have you in there, ccptcollective.com, online community just for CCPTs. So, all right, y'all, have a lovely week. We'll talk again soon. Love you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.